Blog Talk Radio.
All right, goddammit. We got some good shit. Wait a minute, I gotta pull my notes up. Yes, 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 yes. We are real, yes. All right. A lot of things we do, a lot of them, have to be forced. Because we got a lot of laziness in us. You know, oh, excuse me, forgot my mic. We got a lot of laziness in us. So I'd be wondering if I pushed you new guys too hard. Some of you might have pushed some of you older guys off by saying, I don't think you should ask questions. Let me, clarify where I'm coming from when I say I don't think you should ask questions. Some things just can't be addressed without asking a question. So, come on, you got to ask when you have to. But where I'm coming from is, if I have to answer a direct question, maybe the person asking the question shouldn't be trying to get involved with this. Because this, in quotes, could cost you your life. I'm not trying to have nobody get killed. So what I'm saying is, a person who don't ask questions, but seeks the information, what happened is this person is more prepared mentally, because this person who does not ask the question but poses a situation is actually looking for some knowledge. He's not looking to be turned out. He's just looking for some knowledge. So, I don't want to be responsible for any of you motherfuckers going out there and getting hurt, or worse. I'm going to start accepting any questions you have. Because I don't mean you should not ask questions. I mean, you just really need to have answers posed to you that you have to figure out. I didn't intend to make it to where you're afraid to ask questions. I know I did that, and I guess I'm apologizing right now because, shit, I didn't mean to make your motherfucking ass scared, but, you know, starting with this show, I ain't gonna be negative to you asking questions. What I'm gonna do is I hope you understand where I'm coming from when I shoot at you. Because I'm going, you know, I'm going to probably shoot at you when you ask the question, but it's for your own motherfucking good. I just don't want to be responsible for your young ass getting fucked up in some kind of way. I changed my approach. I ain't responsible for your ass getting fucked up in any way. I told you in the past. Actually, I told you earlier this month, the way you see the question determines the answer. Now, think about this. Now, what do I say to my girl? You know, we got problems. And I just need to know what to say. Man, hell, man, you asking me some goddamn shit like that. And I am supposed to say out of my mouth what I think you should say. I ain't got one bit of information about what's going on in your house, but since you know I fuck with a lot of bitches, you think I know. So what I'm saying is I don't like answering shit like that. Not that particular question, but when you ask a question like that, it's open-ended. It could be anything. But when you're fortunate, you know, enough to have a real OG like me, to call when you have any kind of problem. You get to feel your position in the life you chose. And that's just the way it go. I don't want to motherfucking be the guy to call. But if you call me, two things is going on. You didn't hurt him, and for one thing, you got big respect for me for another thing. And I feel appreciated. But I just don't want to answer no fucking questions. So I know a lot of motherfuckers call themselves pimps who are living in the gutter. You know, they living in the gutter, stealing shit from whoever's around them, you know, lying, all this kind of goddamn shit. They live there because they have made use of false pretenses. You try to get in with the in crowd. Man, when you live in a fake world, all the results you get are going to be fake. Now, those dudes who are in the gutter now thought the fake shit they was doing to carry them as well as the real shit I was doing carry my black ass. Sadly, your motherfuckers realized just as a lot of you will find out, it doesn't work that way. It don't work that way. I'm not talking about pimp shit. I'm talking about being able to utilize it in whatever area of life you in. The only thing that will carry you into your later years with stellar marks of professionalism is true game. I'm talking about the kind of game that Fillmore Slim, Shantae Parker, Hollywood Heights, Gorgeous Drake, the original white folks, Rosebud Benedict, and other OGPs who were down and dirty. They whole career, 40, 50 years, We got our respect the old way, not the way you motherfuckers think you should get respect. We didn't earn it. We took it. We took the respect we got. We took our respect every time we hit the motherfucking road and ended up in a city that we ain't never been. Every motherfucker is a stranger to us. We were strangers to the city, but not to the life that's lived within that city. We understood that we had to go into the belly of the beast if we wanted to eat. We didn't have no hookups in that goddamn city we just drove into. Whatever hookup we got, we took. After taking a few motherfucking props, the real niggas of the city showed up and wanted to kick it with a nigga. But it's ordered by game. They don't want to kick it with fucking wannabes. They want to kick it with a real nigga who know how to come into a city, excuse me, and claim it. Wait, fellas. I've got the hiccups. I got to go get some water. Hold 1 second. See, that's why I always say to you guys, you know, you motherfuckers think pimps is punks. Man, pimps ain't no punk. Pimps will beat your motherfucking ass because we ain't playing. Gang claims things that are not yours. But the shit is there for the taking, and we ain't stealing. We taking what we want from any city we go to. Because at that time we was pimps and we wasn't afraid to take what we wanted. I remember the day I turned out. Like it was yesterday. I went to a brother that I had been selling shit to. The nigga had hoes. And I asked him, I said, man, is Shattuck a cool track? He gave me his answer. And then I asked him another question. This fool went off on me and told me I was scary. You know, I shot back at him, man, ain't no motherfucker scared. I'm out here. He said, you scary ass motherfucker. You ask them questions so they can answer them so you can step lightly. You got to stomp the pavement. And then that nigga said, nigga, you must have some game because you got the broad out here. Now, this is the only piece of fucking game I'm going to give you. Put that hoe down. And whatever you don't know, the questions that she come in asking, and your answers will tell you all you need to know. Now, that was all a game a motherfucker gave me. And it took 6 months of being in the game, which is all I had. I mean, Hollywood. It took those months in going to Hollywood to see the sense in what this motherfucker was saying. That's why I revisit everything I do. Because reading my book this morning just showed me so much. I never really accepted that I was a pimp until my motherfucking hoe had to jump out of a Trick's car and got fucked up. And this was the first 2 days of being in Hollywood. I had to come up with so much shit to say to my motherfucking hoe about the game on the spur of the moment that I had not asked any questions about. So I didn't have any knowledge of this shit. But I did what real niggas do. And if Marvin hadn't prepared me with that iota of game, I might not be here. So I say, thank you, Marvin Harris, all the time. He didn't turn me out, but he punched me in my motherfucking chest when I needed it the most. That's what I call myself doing, punching you in your chest, thinking, you know, you're going to be all right. Marvin tried to hit me way back in Oakland. So I'm going to hit you to it now with a quote from my book, Rosebud the American Pimp. And it says, when you're young, in a turnout pimp, all sorts of things happen to mold you into whom you'll become. It's one thing for sure, and that you are going to change. Change into what is another question. It was two things I realized early on in my pimping career. One, I wanted to handle any situation that came up like a giant pimp would, even if it would cost me the halt. Two, I never wanted to handle any problems by putting fear in my heart about something that's inevitable. Here's another situation that calls for a nigga to come up with a solution at the motherfucking drop of a dime, D-O-A-D. And of course, it's automatically expected from me now. And that's why I stay so down. Fellas, you gotta understand. My name has always carried some kind of recognition. But sometimes my name gets the door slammed on me, slammed in my face. I'm telling you, I remember one night I went to the fish market to get some shrimp. It was kind of cold, but it wasn't, well, it was winter, but it wasn't really cold, and I had my windows down. I was blasting some jazz. You know, I like to do that. As I drove, I saw this bad white bitch in a little sports car like she was riding beside me. Now, I know when I'm getting action, and even though I really didn't fuck with this bitch, I had to. I didn't want to go hard, so I fucking and drove on, not really paying attention to baby, because I saw she was paying attention to me. So I just filed. I stopped at a light, and when I took off, she kept riding beside me. Now, I looked over at the bitch. She had a smile as wide as the Grand Canyon, so fuck, I gotta say something to her. I hardly ever can go out without some woman throwing herself at me. So I motioned her to raise her window down, and I yelled out to her, if you give me 15 minutes, you might find yourself to be at a point of no return. And she just kept smiling as we drove down the motherfucking Broadway. And we stopped at another light. Then I said, my name is Rosebud. And I'm getting ready to say something to the bitch. And before I could finish, she said, the pimp? And I was going to say something slick to her about that, but before I could, that bitch ran the stop line. Back in the day. Oh, shit. Back in the day, we used to do what we did because we believed it. We believed it was the right thing to do in the game. We honestly did not give one red cent to a dancing bitch. No pimps I know ever paid a stripper. I'm just saying, you don't do that. Because we knew hoes would take that as a weakness in a pimp's armor. All the things we did to keep hoes in line have been abandoned today. You motherfuckers don't do shit to check a bitch, except for maybe beat her ass. When you run out of game, when you run out of words, you done ran out of game. So you never run out of words and have to slap a bitch. Now, if she deserves slapping, you slap the bitch while you talking to her. And keep talking to her after you slap her. We had different ways we knew to be or act because we didn't want to be disrespected by no goddamn hoe. Back then, hoes really would not dare disrespect the motherfucker. Fast forward to the day. And I'm honestly asking this question. Is it important for a hoe to see her man as a pimp? As it was in my day? I'm asking this question because I heard a nigga say to a broad that he said that he was about to pimp him. And she told him to come down to the club and make it rain. I'm realizing the bitch is a stripper. Now I'm thinking this nigga gonna check this bitch. Then the nigga didn't even get upset. He told the bitch make sure she have her umbrella. Shit. See, if you answer the question, please let me know where you coming from. Because I'm just saying, I be doing shit. And sometimes I forget what I was doing it for. Because I got so much fucking shit on my mind. I just don't believe there's a woman alive that can stand it when I get down seriously. Most times I don't get serious. I just play my hand. Because bitches, they just ain't worth all that. Because I ain't trying to get nothing from them no more. I get all mine myself. I feed myself. I don't need no bitch for shit. Pussy. But here's a serious feel, and I don't care what damn one of you motherfucking women say. This broad paid me for 6 years. I rolled all day that day and didn't even get a bite. Now, this broad that I'm going to tell you about, I put my bid in, and each fresh opportunity that presented itself, but didn't nothing develop. You know, that kind of shit happens, and it is really no big deal. Because I know it ain't me. It's this fucking environment I'm in. That's what I'm thinking. This ain't my flavor because these bitches are acting as I ain't here. I'm in a new town. You know, they don't know who the fuck I am. But these got to be some low-class bitches because they can't even recognize shit from sugar. So how the fuck am I going to think they're going to see who the fuck I am? Because that was downright silly to me. I'm going upscale. You know, nigga rolling Rolls Royce and jeweled up, dressed pimps down, ain't getting no motherfucking action. Shit, that ain't happening. There's so much shit I know to think now. It's like crazy. I know to see with my third eye. I know to see my way out of stupid shit. I handle it, or it surely will handle me. So I go to a little joint named Dino's in Beverly Hills, and I sit in the booth. This waitress comes up to me with a smile and asks me, what will I have? I thought to myself, I'm a motherfucking pimp for this bitch asking me what the hell will I have. I decided to show her ass what I would have in this swank ass joint. Dino's was owned by Dean Martin, and it was a place where not the younger today actors, but them older Dean Martin type actors went to. And this is why I came up scale because, you know, these bitches make you think. You know, my mind is thinking. And just that quick, I came up with a way to make this bitch see me as a motherfucker who is the most different dude she ever seen. And I know she has seen it all. So just that quick, I got busy and I smiled at baby. And I said, I think I will have you in every way possible. Shaken though, not stirred. She looked at me and for a moment she didn't say anything. But me being a mind reader, or the mind reader I am, I said, I know, young lady, you thought you had heard it all. Silly you. That's just how young you are. Live a little while, enjoy the things that I have for you. And you'll learn what you think is what you're about to learn. That is, if you investigate me. You down? You know what that bitch said? I get off at 2. Who are you? The bitch asked me, she was astounded at my skills and speed, right? I told that bitch, why, young lady, do you not realize I'm your deepest fantasy materialized in the form you deem most pleasing for you visually and most stimulating for you mentally? Young lady, allow me to introduce myself to you. Meet your desires. And I reached my hand and shook her hand, and I damn near had to remind myself that that bitch was supposed to get me a drink, because she was mesmerized. She just wanted to talk. Yeah, that motherfucking woman didn't stand a chance with me. Because like I've been told you guys many times, I drive a diesel truck with no fucking headlights. I don't stop at stop signs. I speed. Don't use blinkers. Get in my motherfucking way if you want to. That's how I feel. And what makes that so dope is I drive exclusively at night, in the dark. Man, I'm a real motherfucker, not showing. I have always had a flawless conversation when a woman actually, you know, gets wrapped up in how I deliver my words, as this woman was. I'm having this bitch, and let me tell you, I took that bitch home and pimped on her for 6 years. Now, I wanted to get 10 years out of the bitch, but I couldn't. And this is because I know how to use my persona. I use my persona to my advantage. Where you guys don't know anything about your persona. You don't even know anything about your brand. We learn all that shit at Sidewalk University. See, male confidence and my, well, male confidence 2.0 and my down and dirty shit will show you all of this. 2.0 is going over big, but I've only, well, I stopped selling them separately. But I used to get a lot of sales for 2.0. Now you got to get the whole fucking thing. I got people who've been with me since the very beginning. And they don't listen to me regularly, but they do call me in periodically. Just want to check in, huh? Let you know that shit you spitting is still fire. I have not changed one iota of what I learned, and I've increased my knowledge. Well, how'd you increase your knowledge, bro? Like you said, man, go look at the course again. When you first look at it, when I first looked at it, I didn't have no game at all, so it was just what it was. But after going to Sidewalk University and using that shit for some months, I decided to look at it again, and it was like I seen it for the first time. And fellas, the reason it's like that is because you have no game when you first watch it. Then, after going through it, you have a little game, not much, just a little. So if you watch it again, you're seeing it through the eyes of a motherfucker that got some game. So now you're seeing much more than you seen when you didn't have game. Now that you've got some game, you're going to pick up hella more shit from it. And then a year later, you look at it again, and you're going to pick up that much more. Because the more game you get, the more you see. Because you developed that third eye. I'm just saying. This is, and I must say, I'm bragging when I say this, but this is something from my very first alumni who to this day will not be denied being first to get whatever the hell I'm putting out. This is because that motherfucker believes in what I do. I asked his thoughts on 2.0. Excuse me. I asked his thoughts on 2.0. And he said, man, part two, but I'm going to pick it up again. But I seriously had to put that shit down. In 5 minutes yesterday, I made a notebook and titled it Positive Notes. and it already had 6 positive experiences I remembered about the day with no women. This shit is priceless. I'm going to get back to you, man. Best ever. Can't believe it's this good. See, I feel my alumni. And I direct my course towards what works. I'm not fucking playing games, word games, any of that shit. As far as how I deliver my message to them, it's straight ahead. There's no corners cut. You can't cut any corners on assignments. When you turn them in, I take my magnifying glass and look at them for fingerprints and shit. See, this alumni, above all else, is feeling how it feels to kick it with a peer. See, before I was his instructor. Now he's sharp enough to be a peer, and he gets to call and kick it. I think, and this is my opinion, I think he's seriously enjoying being able to understand what we were speaking about in this phase. I believe he sees so much of what we have discussed. I believe he sees it going on in his everyday life that he's just astounded that I can still come up with more new shit. Everybody wants to have it, but very few will work to get it. White people, you know, they do all kind of shit, but mostly they steal. They didn't stole everything from black people. I remember in the 60s, they used to walk around, what is soul? Because we used to say, man, we got soul. You know, what is soul? Man, it's the way we act, the way we talk, the way we cook, all that shit. We just say shit. And them motherfuckers were like, Jesus, I don't understand. Now, they don't really ask that shit no more. You want to know why? Because they defined it. When they could not define it, they didn't know what to feel. But once they defined it, if you let a white person define anything, he's feeling it. So once they defined what the hell was soul, they stole it. In the 60s, all white people wanted soul because they wanted to be cool. Now, we tried to explain what made us the way we were, but they didn't fathom it. They never understood what soul was until the musicians explained soul music. Soul is our movement, our rhythm. Soul is that we hear and react to the second and the fourth beat of music. That's our come. Well, whereas white people reacted to the first and third beat. That's why when you used to watch in the old days American Bandstand and Soul Train, you would see them motherfuckers on the same song doing two incredibly different dances. White people was always off beat and just, I don't know, they just couldn't figure it out. Now, once they actually identified what soul was, they began to steal it, and the very first thing they did was invent disco music. Disco music is electronically made, but it puts emphasis on the second and the fourth beats to make it feel like soul music. But it still didn't sound like soul music. So the next thing they invented was blue-eyed soul. Disco was pumping. And now you have blue-eyed soul coming on strong. This is all white people at this point. Then white artists started using black backup singers and musicians. And the whole music scene changed. Now, white people have their foot in the door and the robbery began in full force. Because today, there is no soul music. There is no category for black people in music. White people have stolen the blues, soul, and just about every category of music there is, and black people have slowly been taken by the fake-ass music the singers perform these days. They done took rap. They done took everything. We have nothing of our own that is black-based. Even soul singers are now fake. A real black singer does not get into the song like we used to. We used to be so into the song that our body and mind would take over and the words and music would just hum along. Today, even black singers try. They be trying to sound black. They be trying to sound like they got some soul. That Luther Vandross and that Aretha Franklin, when they made their voice trill, it was because that's how they felt. It wasn't that he was putting a trill here. Yeah, I'll take a trill to sound good. No, when they did that shit, it was because that's how they felt. That was the soul. It'll always be white people who have to try to have soul, but black people should have it automatically, but we don't anymore. White people even had you and me trying to have soul. Shit. Now, you want to tell me white people are not slick? The motherfuckers are slick. They copy something, and they taking it. Everything. See, that's another reason why I'm so into the motherfucking confidence course I have. Because it's all mine. Them motherfuckers can't steal that. They have stole it, and they have tried to sell it, but they cannot fathom what I mean when I use words. The words I use, the way I'm using them, they think they mean something else, and it doesn't come out right. My confidence library is immense. I have over 1,000 articles I've written on the idea of confidence. I have about 350 blog talk shows that I've done. I have around 90 guest appearances. And I keep all that shit to remind me how much I have to do. I look at all that effort and tell myself, but you still have about twice as much shit to do. Every kind of worry and every kind of hope I have experienced, and I am not done yet. I just ain't. I'm going to be blessed to see the greatest experience of all, and that will be the day when all the men on my show will be able to show how sturdy their nuts are, because motherfuckers got pump nuts now. So, to me, we should all be standing full weight on our fucking nuts. I live for the day all of us are real men. I really do. Now, think about it. We men, all of us, men, what kind of conversation would that be? Shit, it's in my walk. It's in my talk because I got it. It's in the way I smile. Because I know I got it. It's in the way my words come out my motherfucking mouth. Because I got it. It's in the way I greet people because I got it. It's in everything I motherfucking do. The way I eat, the way I sleep, the way I dream is all because I got motherfucking soul. And I'm confident. I told you many years ago, once I start, I'll be showing you things about confidence and manhood for the next 100 years. It has only been 4 years, or whatever, it's got 100 years. Confidence is not something you can hear about and learn it in a year or two of study. The confidence you gain from my course will not be the same confidence you have after you finish, you know, the whole thing. It will be the same confidence in words, but after you start getting knowledge, the information is going to change. It's recorded. The words cannot change. But the goddamn information you get from those words will change. It's involving your knowledge of life and manhood. And if that grows to the right extent, it's going to make you interpret shit or take information. Take information in differently. It's those changes that really promote your growth. So don't be afraid of all the different knowledge you're about to learn. Just be glad you can learn it. I keep trying to tell you guys over and over the same thing. You can't just want shit. You got to go get it. You can't want it and expect to have it. You got to prepare yourself for the capstone of your life. Your life is steady progressing and is making different changes and you aren't controlling them. We're perfect, just like I said, just like I promised. Yesterday, I spoke about my lifelong friends. Today, I think it only proper to speak on all them young motherfuckers that have graced my page, graced my goddamn shows with updates and different shit that they doing. Changing. I don't get as much bullshit as I used to get. Motherfuckers be on the show trying to make sense. But you do have the suckers that come on the show, too. This is a public thing, so you're going to have them. But you have to understand and appreciate these, well, I have to understand and appreciate these young motherfuckers that's showing out. I went to Shantae's fucking set last night. A bunch of young niggas was there. It was cool as hell. Kenny Red made appearance, you know, bunch of niggas. Johnny Cash, bunch of motherfucking niggas, right? And Shantae's kids was there. It was a beautiful night. But what made it beautiful? See, I don't know if you think like this, but what made it beautiful was every motherfucker there knew of me and Shantae's partnership. Every motherfucker there appreciated the fact that we had been dogs 50 years. 50 motherfucking years. Can you believe that shit? And me and that motherfucker had fun. I'm posting pictures that I took and the shit was cold. It was cold. See, these young brothers today, most of them have legitimate problems that need to be, you know, dealt with. And they, you know, bring it to me properly and ask my opinion. In all the cases, of course, I had suggested to enhance, you know, what they were thinking. But it actually enhanced their abilities to deal with their situation. And one young man in particular had a problem with approaching or speaking with women, and I thought, this is right up my fucking alley. He's a young, I think he said he was 19, so I shot my confidence bill to him, and he thanked me. But I really didn't think he would do what I suggested, but he did. And later, I got an instant message from him, and he told me that what I had told him helped him to be more confident and thinking he could speak with women, but it didn't actually stop him from having a complex about a problem he had in his past. Now the nigga's gonna, you know, take me into the therapist mode. Well, I do that sometimes. So he explained that he had mental issues in the past and was coming off a 10-year depression. I said, 10-year depression? What made you depressed? This motherfucker started telling me about a failed relationship he had, and he felt that it shouldn't have failed. And he blamed himself because he got caught cheating. His woman had been with him 4 years. In reality, he didn't get caught. His woman asked him if he was seeing anyone on the side, and he answered truthfully. So I stopped him right there, and I said, well, why did you tell her the truth? He said, man, you know, you got to be truthful in a relationship. I told that motherfucker my true feelings on the matter. I told him that if it was me, if I did something like that, unless my woman caught me in the bed with my dick inside this goddamn woman, I would have not admitted it to her. And I know most of you think differently on this, but my position is this. If I cheat, and that's a big if, but if I did, I would be the one who would have to suffer the consequences, whatever they would be. Under no circumstances would I bring my woman into that shit and crush her. This woman been trusting me for 4 years, and I'm going to tell her, yeah, I cheated on you. So her all of 4 years going to be fucked up. She's going to be wondering about him. Man, that woman trusts and believes in me. So I seriously don't believe coming clean in that situation is the best thing to do. There would be irreparable damage caused by this confession. And the hurt that I would put on my woman would devastate her. So I told this nigga he should forget his past woman because she's not going to forgive him for cheating. And more than that, she would not forgive him for telling her the truth. Most people believe telling the truth in any matter is the best option. But I say if the truth will destroy my relationship, I ain't telling it. My best option would be to thank God that I got away and never do the shit again. None of us really should cheat. But if you do, then it's killing you. That's what the fuck you get for cheating. What the fuck you think? You're supposed to cheat and don't feel shit, die your death alone, and do not bring your faithful woman or your man down with you. It serves only one purpose when you fucking do that kind of goddamn shit. The only purpose when you confess something of this nature, and that's that it destroys your relationship. I mean, of course, you can hear relationships that get better after something like that is confessed. But that's like one in a million. I don't know any woman or man who would accept a spouse cheating. But I know hundreds, if not thousands of friends who are with their mate over 30 years. And one of them had an affair 25 or 30 years earlier. I'm not condoning cheating. I'm supporting lasting relationships. People make mistakes, and the mistakes can be corrected. But once you lose the respect and trust of your mate, you will be one lucky fool if you get that shit back. The best thing to do is not cheat, but stay true to who the fuck you are. Now, that's from me to you. And I want you to know I am very serious about what I just said, even though I got a gang of bitches. It ain't none of my woman, though. Shit, and when they start liking me like that, I create a problem. No, it ain't that I don't like women. It's that I don't want one around me like that right now. I need to be free. I need, ain't no, one of the reasons the bitches don't like me after maybe 3 months, 4 months, but the last bitch liked me 2 years, so I don't know, maybe it ain't true, but the reason most of the time is that they fuck around and hear me kicking it with y'all. And they hear me saying this, bitch, that, and talking about bitches, talking about dudes. And then they come in, you know, and I'm, you be running that shit on me. Thought I wasn't, you crazy motherfucker. I'm telling these niggas how to have no bitches. I am a motherfucker just like I tell them. Spend a bitch. They just like it. They like the fucking truth. In certain instances, because I'm telling you, do not tell a bitch that you've been cheating on that you have been cheating. You have made the biggest mistake of your life when you do that. All right, fellas, I think this is going to be a short one today. I'm a see. You dudes are crazy as hell. They just can't pull it off correctly. I always want to be version of us. Well, you're right. And listen, you guys, everything that I talk about is not because I think you can't do it. It's not anything except I think you don't know it. And I believe if you know it or hear it and start learning it, you'll change. Your whole demeanor will change because you'll have a confidence that brings out the real you. Nothing fake about you, just realness. All right, I'm gone. Oh, shit. I forgot about it. Oh, man. 786. I'm sorry, man. I forgot about that.
Man, I've been listening to you all day. Listen to your game, the way you've been spitting it, and it's actually true.
I know it's true, brother.
Yeah, so, like, why would you even exploit yourself that way?
What do you mean by that?
A man should just be a man. If you straight up, as far as having lots of women, just let them know. As far as, hey, man, you cool. But, hey, we not together.
Well, man, that's how you're supposed to do, but dudes don't do that. You know they don't do that, man.
That's what I'm saying. They just go in there like you always say, with a nuts in the girl purse, and they don't even know the purse, and they just put them in there.
Yeah, brother, so you got to understand that you see that. So you really would be fucked up if you do it, but you ain't gonna do it. So
yeah,
you know,
I got
your
course.
Cool.
So yeah, so I'm on chapter two right now. Part one, chapter two, and I'm going back to the information, listening to you, going back. I'm like, man, this game is so official. It's like a referee with a whistle. Like the game is official.
Hey, bro. You getting it straight up, man. Keep getting it, man. And if you feel like it, brain, come to Doggone Sidewalk University so you can really get it.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about the business part of it. But, yeah, we're going to work it out as far as me having the course, letting these other guys know, like, it's really crumbs y'all getting.
Hey, appreciate
yeah,
you, bro.
All right, man, take it easy.
Right on. 517, what's up?
What's up, Professor? How you doing?
Hey, goddammit, Cameo. How the fuck you doing?
I'm doing good, especially since our last conversation. But I want to kick it with you a minute about what you were just talking about. How when white people define something, that's when they take it over and take it from us and steal
yeah.
it. Yeah, that's what they did. Yeah, that's what they did with hip-hop. Like, I'm a student of hip-hop as well. That's what they did with hip-hop. When hip-hop first started, it was about totally something totally different. The foundation of it is different than what is going on now. And that's because white people got a chance to define it and find a way to capitalize off of it and steal it.
So check this out, Cameo. Check this out. Do you know what rapper is actually responsible for giving this game up in the rap?
No.
MC Hammer.
MC Hammer.
listen, man. Before MC Hammer, it was all about underground rap, and you know some motherfuckers was getting record deals, but not a lot. Rap wasn't like it is. MC Hammer got a deal. I forget what record company it was, but it was like a $25 million deal. And this motherfucker started wearing them parachute pants and dancing like a motherfucker on the stage. And that's when the white people took over hip-hop, because they made it like an extravaganza. And the hip-hop was something that's in clubs, you know, something that you can afford $3-4 for a drink, blah, blah, blah. But if shit got to cost, you know, like Elvis Presley goddamn concerts. And that's when they took it over. And that's why you see so many motherfucking Peckerwoods winning rap shit now. It's crazy.
Uh-huh.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
They ain't going to take over what we got. They can't take over confidence.
Okay.
They can only add to it. They can only add to it by you being strong enough to smash what they saying, because you confident enough to believe what you think and not what the fuck they saying. We got to be like
cause
that.
Go ahead. Yeah, because that's what I was on. That's what I was on, not letting them, you know what I'm saying, try to take over what I'm putting together and how that applies to my life. You know what I'm saying?
I done wrote all them books and did all this shit, but I ain't letting that motherfucker take it from me, because that's all they want to do. They want to, I had a book deal with my American Pimp, but they wanted to give me 10 cents on the dollar. Now, come on, man. I mean, they get 90 cents, and I get 10 cents. But that 10 cents could have added up to millions of dollars because of how they was going to push it. But whatever I'm getting, they get 9 or 10 times more. Fuck that, man. I'll get $100,000, which would do me fine, when them motherfuckers think I need to get $1 million because they're paying for all this other shit. That's why they need $1 million. I don't pay for all that shit. $100,000 do me good. Not that that's what I want. I'm just saying, $100,000 is fine for me. Hey, Kevin, that's some good shit, man. Every time you call in, man, you got some on point.
All right, thanks, Professor. Nice kicking it with you.
You know it, brother. All right, you guys. I know I am crazy. I was probably hell of you guys been on here. I hadn't even really got on goddamn blog talk. But we over now, so everybody just be cool and be safe.